This is most certainly true. The Word became flesh. Our Savior God was born a humble baby to set a world of sinners free. He became a person so that he could save people like us. And because he lived and died in our place, now we have a promise of life forever in heaven. Join our celebration of the birth of Jesus with this sermon recently delivered at Grace.
First reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 2. Our King comes to us and brings with him unmatched spiritual peace. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
My brother-in-law climbs mountains. That's not for me. Maybe not for you. Mount Rainier, Denali, anything like that, I would say, "Oh no." But he'd say, "Let's go." There are times in life when we all feel like we're facing a mountain, the beginning of a new semester, signing our life away to buy a house, the start of a new job or career. Facing those mountains leads to one of two reactions: "Oh no," or "Let's go." This is the first Sunday of the Advent season, the start of a new church year. It might not feel like it, but we're about to climb a mountain from Bethlehem all the way up to Mount Calvary and back again. What's our reaction to climbing that mountain of the new church here? And let's just take apathy, no big deal, or avoidance, not for me, off the table. What's our reaction when we face the mountain of a new church year? Will there be a rising tide of anxiety, oh no? Or will there be waves of excitement? Let's go. The message of the prophet Isaiah today, our first reading, shared with you from the lectern, answers those questions. His message might be 2,700 years old, but his message is as relevant as a news push on your phone. When the devil pushes a load of guilt onto your shoulders, where do you go? When he uses Hamiltons and Jacksons and Grants as a booby trap to snare you into greed and materialism, where do you go? When he fires the poison dart of selfishness at your heart, where do you go? In the year 1003 BC, King David established his capital on the highest hill in the center of the land of Israel. There he built a city, later to be known as Jerusalem, and there he planned to construct a permanent worship facility to replace the portable tent which the Israelites had been using for 400 years. His son Solomon actually carried out the building project over a span of 7 years, using thousands of laborers and tons of gold. He completed the temple in Jerusalem, a visible symbol of the presence of God among his people. As time went by, Jerusalem became known as the city of God, and the hill on which the temple was featured became known as the mountain of the Lord. Since Jerusalem was sitting on a high hill, it was easily defended, rising 80 to 100 feet above the Kidron and Hinnom valleys. And as time went by, kings of Israel and some later administrators like Nehemiah constructed massive walls around the city, creating it to be an impregnable fortress. So when enemy soldiers disrupted the well-being of Israelites living in the surrounding countryside, where did they go? Hiding behind a tree? Jump into the fruit cellar? What would they do? No! We go to the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. God's people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. There would be protection at the mountain of the Lord. There would be safety and peace. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. However, if Isaiah was speaking exclusively about Jerusalem, his prophecy never came true. The Israelites demonstrated way too often disobedience, and in loving care and discipline, God allowed enemies to attack, to wake them up and call them back, but they didn't come back to the Lord. The enemies eventually broke into the city, conquered and scattered the people. Isaiah must have had something much better in mind when he spoke these words in the second chapter of his book. And he did. The true mountain of the Lord is the Christian church, where the words of God offer protection for our souls, like a fortress around our souls. Guilt got you down? In his holy word, God says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's climb that mountain. Greed grabbing at your heart? In his holy word, God offers to us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Let's climb that mountain. Is the poisoned dart of selfishness flying at your heart? In his holy word, God offers to us the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Let's climb that mountain. To organize a visible Christian church so that the Christians who operate there can work together in love and harmony, where do we go? To detect false teaching and promote the truth, where do we go? In the third service today, Abby Strong will be installed as our family minister for her ability to help parents get back to the basics and grow in establishing loving family relationships. Where does she go? Jerusalem was not only the center of political and military might for Israel, it was also the center for learning. Scholars took up residence at Jerusalem and met regularly in the temple courtyards and researched the writings of the prophets. If you wanted direction for your life, if you wanted to know what it means to live for God, if you wanted to know what it means to live as an Israelite, where would you go? You go to the mountain of the Lord, where he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. However, if Isaiah was speaking exclusively about Jerusalem, his prophecy never came true. The Israelites didn't listen to the words of God. They listened to anything that would scratch their itching ears, and the result was living in a land eventually with poverty, broken homes, injustice in the courts, disobedient children, abuse, immoderation, immorality. That's overuse of alcohol and fooling around outside of marriage. Isaiah must have had something much better in mind when he spoke these words. And he did. The true mountain of the Lord is the Christian church, where the words of God give us direction for our lives, to organize a visible gathering of believers in a church so they work in love together. God, in his word, says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its part. Let's climb that mountain to detect false teaching and promote the truth. Jesus says, when you hold to my teaching, you'll be my disciples, and then you will know the truth. Let's climb that mountain for Abby to help parents in getting back to basics and growing in establishing loving family relationships. God in his word says, tell the next generation what? The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Let's climb that mountain. Where do people go to learn the real truth about the real true God? You cannot expect someone to learn about Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glory. You can't expect anyone to learn about that while sitting cross-legged at the Ganges River in India, mindlessly mumbling some mantra. You can't expect someone to learn about God's saving love by putting food at the foot of Mount Fujisama in Japan. No one will develop a close connection with God by walking seven times around a great, big, huge black stone called the Kaaba in Mecca, Arabia, or by fasting once a year, each day of a month, during the daylight hours. Isaiah must have had something much better in mind, and he did, when he spoke these words. God positioned Palestine at the crossroads of the ancient world. Major trade routes intersected on Israelite territory. Shipping routes converged at Israelite shoreline. God designed this, putting his nation, his people in that position geographically for a purpose, to allow for easy access to people to his message of love and for it to go out to more people. Isaiah said, the mountain of the Lord will be exalted above the hills and all nations will stream to it. The law, the instruction will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. However, if Isaiah was speaking exclusively about Jerusalem, his prophecy never came true. The Israelites neglected their mission objectives. They became more and more self-centered. They even had rules about no contact with foreigners. You remember, don't you, the disdain that Jesus' disciples had for a Canaanite woman who came to Jesus asking for him to help and heal her daughter? Or do you remember their surprise when Jesus stopped at a well and there was a Samaritan woman, a Samaritan woman drawing water, and he actually engaged her in conversation? Isaiah must have had something much better in mind. And he did. The true mountain of the Lord is the Christian church, where his promises of love are proclaimed for all. Jesus gives to every Christian the commission, go and make disciples of all nations. That's not just the job of an outreach pastor or a family minister. Each Christian individually, that's you, that is I, and all Christians collectively shine as beacons of light of God's love in a world gone dark and cold with sin. As those who trust that Jesus alone has wiped our sins from his sight, we are the church. We are on and in the mountain of the Lord and proclaim the message of the mountain of the Lord. If someone asks, what benefit is there? What advantage is there in being a Christian? We know the answer. You can say, we can say to people, there is a great advantage in being a Christian because we are in and on the mountain of the Lord, and we can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. We want you to share in that joy. You do not have to get stuck in a valley of anxiety when the dam breaks and worries flood in. You do not have to look for relief in a bottle filled with mind-numbing liquid or with pills as some kind of a resort to ease your problems. You do not have to get pinned under temptation beyond the count of three. There is hope. There is joy. There is a tomorrow filled with the goodness and care and mercy of God, who proclaims to the crooked and confused, to the damaged and downhearted, to the stubborn and self-centered, of which I am one. And I bet you are too. He proclaims to people like us who are hurting and many times broken. He proclaims, I still love you, and I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. You want proof? Check out what's coming at the end of Advent. My gift, my forgiveness, my son for you. Let's climb that mountain. In the next service this morning, Abby Strong will be installed as our family minister here at Grace. How can we help her? How can we walk alongside of her and support her in her new career shift from kindergarten teaching to serving here at Grace? Good questions. And good time to ask. It's the start of a new church year, the first Sunday of Advent. So whether you had a bad day as you started off this morning and got up on the wrong side of bed, whether you came to church frustrated or apathetic or pessimistic, we are at the foothills of the climb of the mountain of a new church here. Oh no. Or, let's go. Take to heart Isaiah's message. And let's climb that mountain. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace, to support the work that we do to proclaim the love of Jesus in Milwaukee and around the world, and to find our schedule of special worship services, please visit www.gracedowntown.org today. And we'd love to have you join us for worship sometime soon. This grace is for you.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.